and they're going to say, take it to the courts and go through the system, the Constitution, this and all this crap they've heard all this time. They fall in line. And that's how they've sort of castrated the fact that people have all these guns.
Welcome back to Crime America Outlawed. We're going to be chatting with the legal man himself a little bit later. U.S. Law Review on Twitter. Fantastic chat with a fantastic cat talking about the unlawful nature of a lot of the COVID crackdowns, as well as the sheepish behavior of a lot of the public and things like that. It's a good chat.
Pretty black pilled, really. You know,
super it's, black.
Yeah, pill. He's got an interesting take on it. You know,
this would be right up Michael's alley.
Yeah.
The end of the world.
Well, it's interesting to hear a smart guy like that's been doing law work in the law, you know, in the constitutional sense as well, to see what he thinks about all this. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. Of course, we did stream and we do stream the live portion of the Outlawed show over on Rockfin. If you do want to catch the live streams, we got YouTube striked out. So we went over to Rockfin for those streams. Of course, they're free. I think you have to make a free account if you want to sign up still, but just head over to rockfin.com/America, make a free account, and you can catch all the live streams of these shows, of the free portion. Anyway, we do not stream the premium portion, so that's all you can catch live. That's worth it, I think. Yep. If you want to catch the live show, have that free account. Doesn't cost you anything. So, legal man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been doing this new podcast. I think it's fairly new. Like, he talks about the genesis of it, early 2020, but he was a blogger before, and he's been practicing law for decades.
He's a law blogger.
And a law blogger.
Bob Loblaw.
I bet his real name is Bob Loblogger.
Bob Loblaw's Loblaw.
So Bob Loblogger, has been now podcasting. And people are digging it. I mean, he's got a good little show there. So I'll go check him out in the show notes. But he kind of keeps his thing somewhat anonymous.
I was editing the last episode of
Grimerica Goes Deep?
No. Of Outlawed.
Outlawed.
Bonomo.
Yeah.
Robert Bonomo. Yeah. We talked about his little movie.
I'm sorry. I don't mean anything disparaging by it at all. Just, you know.
But you call this a hate crime in previous shows. You being called short is a hate crime.
Not to me, it's not. But it should be if other things are going to be. I don't have any control over my height. My weight, that's a different story. Anyways, this is a great one with Legal Man. Let's call him Legal Man. That's what he likes to be called.
Absolutely. And we hope you consider signing up for Plus if you're not signed up already, and enjoy this chat with Legal Man.
All right. We've got America's most trusted lawyer, Legal Man. Welcome to Grimerica Outlawed. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this. I've been listening to your rants on your podcast, The Quash. It's been great. It's resonating with me very much on many levels, even though you're much smarter and you've got much more education than us. But, I mean, we're going through things now where we have similarities to all different kinds of people right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're all in it together at this point. Yeah. I hate to use that kind of phrase, but, yeah, I mean, we really are.
Yeah. I think I don't even really know your history much. Maybe can you just talk a little bit about what made you start ranting on your podcast and sort of maybe what led you to talking about these things openly, and maybe kind of like, I hate to use the red pill moment, but I feel like there was some point there, maybe a long time ago, that you kind of woke up to what was happening.
Yeah. It's, my path was generally, it'll be relatively brief. It was, I was raised in a family where I had a father who was really basically a communist. I mean, he wasn't like openly, he's very, very, very liberal. And my mother was not, but I kind of grew up as a libertarian. That's what I was drawn to. And I really believed in all that, that God and country kind of America, exceptionalism, constitution crap. And that's why I know those arguments so well, because I truly believed them all for so long. And then about 20 something years ago, once the internet became available and I actually had access, and once they started loading stuff into it, I started doing my own research because I've always been skeptical. And then we had 9-1-1. And then after that, it really started to become very questionable to me. And one thing after another just started falling. And I've been fully red / black pilled for at least 15 plus years, almost 20 years at this point, just finding more and more stuff. And unlike a lot of people, there's really no topic that I've ever come across that's off limits where it's like, well, that's ridiculous. Could never be true. And I won't look into it. I've looked into everything. And I've never found one of these official narratives that was true. And so when it, to fast forward to kind of about maybe 10-ish years ago, I wrote a blog and it's still up. It's called thetruthaboutthelaw.com. And it's got a lot of cool articles on there. They're all timeless, but they're similar to what I talk about in my podcast, The Quash, in that the law is despicable the way it's run. It's a total fraud from top to bottom. And very few people have the sort of experience and expertise I do to explain it. And I happen to have a knack for explaining it. And so I wrote a bunch of it and then I got burned out on it, just kind of cathartically got it out of me. And I didn't touch it for about 6 or 7 years and I still haven't. And then when this insane lockdown occurred about a year ago, I just went off inside because it was just so outrageous to me from day one. The idea that they could ever lock me down is absurd, that the government could ever have this kind of authority is ridiculous. And so after about 2 months, when I realized, my God, people are accepting this. Yeah. They're okay with this. They actually think the government can do this and that we have to obey this kind of insanity. And I had a lot more time on my hands because they were starting to kind of destroy my practice and business and a bunch of stuff I had planned that was about to sort of go off right before COVID shut it down. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to start telling people now that they have this technology, this iPod kind of, you can do a podcast technology. And I just started making some because I have, you know, I have a reasonable amount of Twitter followers, not a huge amount, but I had, you know, 10,000 followers or something at that time. I thought, well, you know, I'll talk to them. And so I started making it and people, you know, they kind of liked it. But the show, what was so funny about it is you ask about the rants. And that is, in the beginning, I tried to be a much more kind of controlled, educational. And it didn't really take off until I came back from a vacation I took up in Colorado last summer, where I was hiking around at 10,000 feet and I was passing these idiots wearing masks out in the middle of nowhere. And everywhere I went, driving from my home here in Texas up to Colorado, everywhere stopped, idiots in masks. Everywhere was mask. Everywhere you went was mask and restrictions and all this crap. And I just came home in a way worse mood than I'd even left in. I was so pissed that this stuff had taken hold that I came back and I made what I called my first After Hours podcast, where I just railed on the insanity I'd seen. I just couldn't believe that this was going on. And that really resonated with people. And it wasn't me play acting. I don't get on here and pretend. It's just me being more raw and real as opposed to controlled.
Right.
And so I kind of went out of my courtroom mode where I don't curse. You know, you have to be very careful. Yeah, you can be emotional. You can kind of be that, but you can't really be you. I can't be me in there, at least the way I am.
Right.
And so that's kind of what happened. I started doing that and people liked it. So I just decided, you know what? People want to be entertained and try to learn something. And so I just kind of went away from a more controlled scholarly thing to much more of a freewheeling. I'm going to tell people what I think about these topics. And if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah. It comes across as authentic. I mean, really it does. It comes across as like, this is the way you feel. You're not sugarcoating anything or trying to be something else or someone else. You're just saying it like it is.
I'm just, that's just me. If I'm, if I'm just sitting there and on the phone talking to my buddies, or I'm having a drink in the backyard or something with them, you know, that's how I talk. I get worked up sometimes, but I also laugh a lot. I can laugh at myself and laugh at the insanity, but you know, it's just, I think people connect with the authenticity and just the realness that I just started bringing to it. That's the reality.
I like how it was the outside thing that got you going, because recently I've been frustrated around here, because I remember our health professionals last summer, last spring, saying outside is fine. All the studies show that you can't pick it up from being outside. And then what, it goes backwards and 180 degrees. Now people are in their masks outside on their own. It's just mind boggling.
Right. I couldn't believe it. I mean, this was, I think, in June when I went. And so I'd already had quite my fill, because I couldn't go ice skating. They shut that crap down, as though ice skating is unsafe. It's completely ridiculous. And so I couldn't do, and obviously the gym got blown up, so I had to get my own home gym squared away and all this crap. And I was just sick and tired of the idea that this thing that was clearly nowhere near, if there were 25 million people dead, I could at least understand people thinking that the government would have some kind of right, theoretical, maybe authority to shut businesses down and tell me I have to stay inside or wear a mask or anything else. But with basically nobody at that time even knew anybody who was sick, let alone dying all the place. And they still don't. And so it just blew my mind that I could go to a place and that the people were so scared and so compliant that in the middle of the wilderness, hiking around at 10,000 feet, we would pass a couple. They'd be coming up. They'd be scared of me. And they would like move to the other side of the trail with the stupid mask on. I was like, what? If anything's so dangerous that you have to be concerned about catching it at 10,000 feet with a mask on, what the hell are you doing outside? Why are you running a risk like that? That's insane.
Yeah, that's what I do. Do you want to say?
Well, it's got to be just a giant virtue signal at that point, right? Just, do you think they're actually that scared?
Yeah, they are.
I think they are that scared. And that was the whole thing.
But then why would you leave the house? Just because they think they can get out there and not run into you? Then yeah. They see you come up the hill and they're panicking to get their mask out? Or are they wearing the mask the whole time because they think COVID's hiding behind the trees?
Yeah, see, for me, it just confirmed that the people I'm surrounded by are so stupid that they can't connect dots like you just did. Like, well, it's either so dangerous, why in the hell would you go out and risk it? Or it's not so dangerous and you don't need a mask. But, it doesn't make any sense together.
Yeah, here's what I noticed happening. Last fall, late fall, let's say, I think October, November, I started realizing that these people, all of a sudden something shifted and they think that masks grant immunity to it. All of a sudden masks became so important to them that all this stuff about, it's barely going to work if at all the stuff they were officially telling us last fall or last spring, last summer was out the window. And now it was the only way you're going to survive is if you wear a mask. Like it really was immunity. And then they're getting, and then people got shameful when they came down with the COVID and they got tested and they started crying and they're like, people are going to think I'm a Republican or I'm right wing and I wasn't following the rules. I followed all the rules.
White supremacist.
I wore my mask and I still got it. What's wrong? Holy fuck.
I don't understand the mask issue outside of fear and virtue signaling, because the science of it, I don't have to be an epidemiologist or a maskologist or anything else to be able to figure out that the rules don't make any sense. That if I have to wear a mask to walk in the restaurant, but I can take it off if I sit down, but then if I stand up to go to the restroom, I have to put it on. But if a little person comes by standing, they have to have a mask on, even though they're the exact same height in the room as I am when I'm sitting. It's like, this doesn't make any scientific sense. There's no way for all of these things to come together as science. There just isn't. And you don't have to be an expert to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Our provincial authority, well, I shouldn't even call them that.
They don't have any fucking authority over me.
They're supposed to come on today and tell us that maybe the gyms might be able to open because they backtracked off of all the things.
I thought they said the gyms could open now.
Just now.
Like yesterday, right? Yesterday,
but,
I think.
But they won't allow all these other things, even though they told us if we're at this many hospitalizations per 100,000, is that what it is? Or just total for the province. This many hospitalizations total.
Oh, yeah, they said 450.
Now they just back, it's just like ever since the spring. The 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and they're still back now. There's still people still believe them. Yeah. How many times have they lied to us about this?
And now the tickets are being thrown out too. So you'd think they'd back off of that. Even that one restaurant that was open that they were going after, they've backed off of that now and offered to pay the legal fees.
Yeah. So they're scared. They're scared to go to court over this. They're giving people tickets. This guy in Canada, they keep spelling his name wrong. He's a sort of like the resistance guy back east there. And he's always out in the public causing commotion over this stuff. And they give him these tickets and they spell his name wrong because they don't want it in court. They just want to scare people with these fines.
That's greatness. I love it. Typical. So typical. You know, the thing about it here in the States is that I look at the legal structure that we're supposedly operating under and that supposedly authorizes any of these kinds of restrictions. And of course, they've layered in all of this nonsense. And I've tried to explain to people that, one, the word emergency in our country, in the Constitution, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as additional emergency powers in the United States. The government doesn't get any powers as a result of running around declaring an emergency. That's a statutory creation that has absolutely no constitutional authority whatsoever. But you then layer on top of that the idea that these state governors can then join in and issue it. And then you have a county, and then you have a city. It's like, okay, in my state, you had the governor doing one thing and saying the counties and the cities couldn't override it, but then they were trying to override it. And so you don't know who you're supposed to obey. And since nobody really has any real authority, there's no clear line here. And even today, it's a classic example. The governor in Texas, where I am, he has supposedly rescinded them all. I looked at his order. He withdraws them all, but he leaves it to the business and the individual. Okay, well, everybody still has no idea what that means. Does that mean the independent school districts are not allowed to make any requirements, or they just don't have to make any requirements? Can the city now keep restrictions in place, or does this override anything? Nobody knows what the rules are because these are all being made up as they go.
Exactly.
And so I think that's part of the psychological operation, is just to keep people in a constant state of confusion and worry that maybe they better do that. And it allows people who want to threaten them with authority they don't have to issue tickets and all these other things like you just referenced, because nobody knows. Do they have it? What's a mandate? Is a mandate a law? Is a law? Is it not a law? What is it? No one's ever heard of the word. It's a mandate before. Oh, there's a recommendation that's now a mandate. These are just made up terms. Nobody knows what they mean. And I think they like it that way because it just keeps everybody off balance, which of course is a typical system you use in any kind of brainwashing, like if you would in a prisoner of war. You keep them very, very confused all the time, uncertain about the future. People are very vulnerable when they're like that.
So what is a mandate then defined?
It's a made up thing. It's a made up thing. It's,
we have we so use bylaws here. We use bylaws here.
No, we have mandates.
Oh, do we? We have bylaws.
But as near as I can tell, they don't count for shit. Like, right. It's honestly, they're not worth the paper they're written on. The thing is, some people just pay them. Other people are scared to leave out beside them, but because of them. But from what I've heard, everyone that's been challenged, you don't even need to go get a lawyer. You just need to show up.
Right.
But then other people I talk to are like, well, dude, I can't. I mean, like, he's like, your salary. I can't. If I got to go fight it in court, it's still costing me $250.
That's the whole deal, is that it's the same reason that so many of these other weird kinds of ways to fight these legal matters, they don't work, because as a practical matter, you have to spend your time, energy, to go down and sit around in some urine stinking government building with a mask on, or waiting in a Zoom meeting or some other crap, being treated like crap. And then you have to supposedly raise these issues, and it just burns all your time. And they are being paid to hassle you. I have to come out of my own pocket to try to avoid the hassle. Well, when it's a cheap ticket, well, it's hardly worth it. Just like if you get a, you know, some kind of shoplifting minor thing that they'll throw out, or you get a jaywalking, or if you get some BS, you know, speeding ticket and a speed trap, can you really spend the time cost effectively to go fight it? No. And now I'm a lawyer, but if you're not a lawyer, lots of people are very intimidated by the system. They're just intimidated. Yeah. They don't know. They're going to go down there. I get people all the time. Are they going to arrest me? It's like, no, they can't arrest you for this kind of, well, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. No,
you're totally right. That's the fear about the tickets. It's not even the money. It's like now they can come. Now it feels like if you get a ticket, now they can come looking for you, or they can put a warrant out, or they can knock on your door. Like that's the feeling that people get.
I get people all the time who'll be like, well, I don't know. My ex-wife, she's, you know, she wants to do such. They think that their ex-wife or somebody can go and like enforce some kind of, because they don't even understand the difference between civil and criminal. It's all just legal trouble. And if the police are in any way involved or there's a court, that's what they see. They just see it all kind of one big blob. And so the powers that be use that confusion. They're increasing it intentionally. And for good reason, people don't want to go down and get involved in the system, because even if the system ignores its own rules, what is your defense against it? You don't have a defense if they ignore their own rules. I mean, you don't have a gun. You don't have a stun gun. You can't use that. You don't know if the order is legal or not. You don't know what you can do. And so it's intimidating. It's very intimidating to people. And the vast majority of this stuff is just intimidation and compliance, voluntary compliance, as a result of intimidation and inconvenience. That's what it is.
What would... So how are you handling it? Like, do you just sort of carry on business as usual if you get a ticket? So, I mean, it's going to be tough because you're in Texas, which is you know, super chill already.
Not super chill. Trust me. It's not. It's one. It's just like all these other places people hear about. Oh, no. Well, any urban center had massive restrictions. I live outside the urban center, so I'm in a county that's much more conservative. But the main cities here, they all have psychotic liberal kind of commie people in charge. And so the idea that Texas is a red state, it's not really true. In the cities, it's all blue. The judges are all Democrats. It's all very blue in the big cities in Texas. And so Texas, sure, it has 29 million people, and all the counties that are outside there are very conservative. But like most of the places in this country, it's really a rural-urban divide between the people. The cities are very liberal. They're very pro-mask, and the country areas aren't. And so for me, I use the same system I use with everything else, which is I try not to ever be involved with law enforcement. I try to avoid interacting with law enforcement at every possible turn. And the system I use with masks, even though they were required everywhere, I just had one of those turtleneck type. And I would, going through the door, if they had a guy there and is insisting, I would act like I was kind of fumbling with it. Oh, yeah. And as soon as I walked through the door, I would just immediately leave it down. And I'm always the only person in the store or the place without a mask. And if some stupid Karen approaches me, I would be like, oh, okay. Oh yeah. Sure. And I just kind of fumble with it again. And I just immediately ignore it. And so that's the system I use, just because everything else, if I refuse and I want to try to get into a confrontation with somebody, which I never want to do because I don't like interacting with the general public, because you can't get through to them anyway. I mean, anybody who's been on social media for more than 10 minutes knows that 90% of the people can't even be reasoned with. And so I'm not going to get involved in a discussion and explain to this Karen why it doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to explain it to a security guard. So I would just pull it up if the security guard was kind of come back by, or okay, absolutely. And I kind of half pull it up over my mouth and just kind of walk off. Well, then I pull it immediately down. So what are they going to do? There's no way I can have a problem, because if they're discussing it, I pull it up. Well, I'm not refusing to comply. They can't kick me out. I pull it back down. They're welcome to follow me around the store. And for the next 25 minutes while I shop, to ask me to please pull my mask back. Oh, okay, I'll pull it back up, and then immediately pull it down. Well, they can't do that either. So I put them to the Hobbesian kind of choice of, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to make me wear a mask? I'm going to pull it up and pull it down all the time. You're going to have to hire an employee to follow me around. But I'm complying each time. So that's how I addressed it. And it worked well, because I almost never had to put a mask on. I almost never had anybody approach me. And I don't know why that is, but I think I'm not very approachable. If when I was out with like girlfriends and stuff like that, people would always approach them, but people never come up and ask me questions. This is forget masking and just normal situations. I don't know. I'm just not very approachable. Why that is, I don't know.
I came up with some rules in the end too. I mean, in the beginning I was just like staunch. No, I'm not wearing a mask. Forget it. It's not happening. And then it was
you flew without a mask. I mean, he had to show his papers 20 times just to get papers on a fucking plane. I mean,
and then I just got sick of it in the end. So I got the little chin strap, the clear glob catcher there.
Right.
And then I have a mask that says this is bullshit on it. And I just have some rules. If it's under 5 minutes, I'll wear the this is bullshit mask.
There you go.
And
I have a buddy.
And it depends what kind of mood I'm in too. I mean, sometimes if I pull up and I'm fired up, it's just like, fuck it, man, let's do it.
Uh-huh.
But other days it's just easier to throw the mask on and get in and get out. And it's not, right. I've decided I'm not going to die on the mask hill. I'm going to die on the vaccine hill.
Right. And this is the whole thing is everyone has to kind of decide, you know, like what's the most sort of cost effective for everybody's own balance. I'm not about to just wear the stupid thing around all the time. If I don't have to go in the store, I don't. If it's a place I absolutely need, well, then I got to put the stupid mask on in order to do some banking questions with my idiotic bankers. I got to wear the stupid thing. Okay, well, that's what I got to do. I'm not going to blow my life up over it because it won't make any difference. If Legal Man gets blown up, it ain't going to make a damn bit of difference to any of these rules moving forward. So I'm not going to throw myself in front of a freight train. I'm going to do what I can, but I'm not going to blow myself up. And I have a buddy in Houston who's a lot like you. He's a lawyer. I've known the guy forever. And he wore those crazy like Joker masks and masks with like a dude with a huge beard stubble and a cigar sticking out of the thing on the mat. It looked just like he was that. So he liked to wear those to obviously make fun of the whole thing. But he likes to drive, you know, loud convertibles, and he loves getting attention like that. It doesn't bother him. The last thing I want is to ever interact with the general public. I drive a totally nondescript sedan. I don't want anybody to see me when I come up. I park in the back. I want to get in. I want to get out. I do not want to interact with the public. And so those are two different ways of approaching it.
Has it always been like that, or is that just
always
more recent?
Never enjoyed the public. I gave up on the public so many years ago. They're just, you know, they're just so hopeless and lost. I have nothing in common with basically anybody out there. I mean, I certainly can't have a conversation with them. Same reason I don't like cocktail parties. I don't know these people. I can't be honest with these people. I'm never going to see these people again. If I told them the truth, their head would explode. So it's just a fake experience to me, and I'm not interested in having a fake experience. I like to have something more authentic.
I just unload. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'm at a point in my life choice where I don't care. Not rudely. I'm not going to yell at you, but I'm not going to fake anything. It's just like,
there you go.
And I can and just, sometimes I watch approach. People's eyes like roll back in their head when they're like, oh boy. And then, you know, I'm going on about fascism or this and that. And usually they're sorry they asked.
There you go. And that's another approach. And I applaud people who want to stick it down their throats and shove it in their face because these people are idiots. That's great. It's just not me. I don't want to do it. I love watching it. That's why I don't normally argue on Twitter with people. But and in fact, I'm extremely fast to block idiots. But I do love being a voyeur and watching other people in my threads go after people who use sort of your technique and just bury them with facts and abuse and all sorts. It's hilarious to me. I just, it's not what I want to do. That's all.
So just getting back to, you were talking a bit about the governments and the different laws between the, you know, the states and the counties and the cities. And, right. And this is what I think is hard for people to grasp, and including me. I mean, like how are these local authorities getting away with all this? Like, how does this, because it seems to me like they're willfully blind on a lot of the science that's happening here. And right now, even you can tell, you just have to look and say, all these measures that they're doing are doing nothing to control this.
Nothing.
It's not worked at all. It's not worked at all. But they don't want to look at that. So somebody from on high is kind of sort of pushing the agenda here.
Right.
But how does it get through down to people's local levels? Like, I think that's what's hard people to understand. Like, my local guy wouldn't be like that, or my local guy would stand up, or my local guy would know better.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe they don't trust Gates or Fauci or Schwab, but how does it get down to everybody?
Well, I think there's a couple of different the question has a couple of different parts to it. It has the part of why would they do it? And then it has the part of why can't you fight it in some reasonable way or make them explain themselves? And as to why they do it, I think these low-level government functionaries and apparatchiks that run these things, they're path of least resistance people who want to make their party happy so they can get reelected. And they, no different than the same reason that they rehire and recycle in these same loser coaches and all these professional sports, they just recycle these guys who failed over and over again. They just rehire them. It's the same way these guys will just take the advice of so-called experts. As long as they have the right letters and officialdom, well, that's the CDC. Okay, well, that's it. That's 100% cover. It's no different than a general manager hiring a long-time coach to bring them in. You can't really get in trouble. If you're at a Fortune 500 company and you want to bring in a sales guy, you bring in a quote top guy with a long track record. It doesn't matter how many times he's failed. It's cover for you making the hire so that the guy blows up like, hey, his credentials were incredible. And I think they use the same thing with this health stuff. They know it's safe. It's safe for them to go with the CDC recommendation. Yeah, the CDC recommendation may be total crap, but one, they probably don't have the IQ to sort it out. Two, they don't give a crap to sort it out. All they really want to do is just take the route of least resistance where they can make the easiest case. So if somebody challenges them at a hearing, well, we're following the official CDC guidelines. Well, who can really complain about that?
Yeah, but right? but in this case, like, just sorry to interrupt you, but in this slow car crash that we're going through that's been a year now, the CDC and the WHO and the other authorities, they're flip-flopping and changing things as they go. Yes. I mean, so how do they even have that as an excuse?
Part.
Okay.
But see, that's the second part. And that was my very first podcast I made was about the fact that these recommendations, the problem isn't that they're making these recommendations to the CDC. They're welcome to make these recommendations. The problem is that there's no ultimate authority for these local officials or state officials, or anybody else, to issue this kind of mandate, this kind of law requirement without some kind of due process.
Right.
And the reality of all of this is that this really is, and I explained my very first podcast, is why I started the thing, was because what they have in effect done, at least under U.S. law, is they've gotten an injunction, a class action injunction. An injunction is a ruling from a court that somebody has to do something or not do something, as opposed to a judgment for money. And an injunction is very difficult and complicated to get. And what they've basically gotten is a permanent injunction against everybody without having to make a case. See, if they were going to have to make a case to get an injunction, they say they wanted to lock Legal Man down, close my business, make me wear a stupid mask and have to only go in and stand 6 feet away from a bunch of people. They just want to impose those requirements on me alone. They would have to go and file an actual case against me, and they would have a burden, the legal burden, to come forward with much more than just a mere preponderance. They have to show, in all likelihood, to get restrictions like that against me, clear and convincing evidence that I would have an opportunity to cross-examine, that I would bring my own experts in, and I would say, well, these guys were telling us not to wear a mask 2 weeks ago, and now they're telling us to wear a mask. They're telling us all these dangers. They don't have any data to back it up. They're making these things up. They don't make any damn sense. I got to wear a mask when I walk in, but I can take it off when I sit down. I got to put it back on when I stand up. I can take it off when I have a drink. None of these things make any scientific sense. And that's the ultimate problem. It's not that they're doing it to everybody. You could have a class action of sorts where you would have, in effect, a representative of the class that you would get you might get an injunction against, and you would come forward and they'd have to prove their case. Well, the problem with all of this is they've never had to prove a case. They've never had to withstand any kind of sworn scrutiny. And if they ever had, it would have blown up. And the fact is, there was a case in Pennsylvania, and I actually did a bonus show about it because of just exactly this reason. They did this case in Pennsylvania, and the thing got blown up. Why? Because they finally got to actually take some testimony, and they didn't have anything. The people who'd come up with these insane policies, that Robert Rachel trans lunatic they've now got in the Biden White House administration, It was her, him, whatever it is, who was making these rules up. And the evidence that came out when you actually got to swear these people in was mind-bending. They had more than 100 people involved in this rulemaking. They couldn't even name who they all were. They had no notes. They had no definition of what an essential business was. The thing had changed 10 different times in a matter of 4 weeks. And the whole thing was such a total train wreck. It was criminal behavior, in my opinion. It was outrageous, but it made the case so clearly that if you could actually force them to actually have to get and prove something in order to impose this, it could never happen. But what happens is they've allowed this concept that the saying these magic words, there's an emergency, somehow gives them this right to do all these things. And as a procedural matter, what happens is that you and I don't have the ability to challenge in the court what they're doing. That's the problem. It's left to the attorney general, these public officials, the county attorney, the city attorney. It's up to them to hold the feet to the fire of government. And as an individual citizen, I don't have, quote, standing in order to bring these cases. And so I didn't have any procedural mechanism to force them to explain, well, how the hell does this make any sense? Even if you want to claim you're protecting the public health, even if you want to claim you have such authority, which is also an open question, but if you do have such authority, do these rules in fact protect public health? And if they do, where's the evidence?
Yeah.
But that's never been done. See, there's no procedural mechanism to do that in the states. That is left to these attorney generals, and they all are in on the scam.
Right.
Nobody held the feet to the fire. Like in Texas, a good example, when they imposed this ridiculous declaration of emergency crap, which is the same exact thing that happened everywhere. Just the national declaration of emergency, then everybody started falling on board. And then you had the same thing in these counties, and everybody started declaring emergencies, just declaring emergencies all the time. Even if you wanted to imagine there was such a thing, that it was such a big emergency, it would have been, I'm not going to say I'd have been okay with it, but at least I would have said it was reasonable if they said, look, we're declaring an emergency in the state because this is a danger we don't understand. And for 72 hours, and our attorney general is already on a plane with a team of lawyers, and we're flying to the CDC, and we're going to depose these people, and we're going to create a record, a legal record, so we can understand what are the parameters here, what are the real risks, and we're going to get a big binder full of evidence that the people are allowed to look at to see what it is. And we're going to leave this as an open case at all times, and anybody who wants to produce new evidence, put it into the record, have a way to do it, and we can all observe it. But that wasn't done because they never bothered to check it. That's it.
Do you think there'll be repercussions? Like, I know in Calgary here, we've got a local law firm, the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms.
Constitutional Freedoms
of Canada. And they've now sued, all the Western provinces.
Right. You guys have a lot of different procedural mechanisms.
Is that what it is? Is it a difference in the mechanisms between?
Yes.
Well, do you think because that's his thing, is he's like, when we get the health minister on the stand,
right,
she now has to come up with evidence. But he's like, listen, this is probably going to take 3 to 5 years.
Right.
But he's like, this is where we're going to have them by the balls, because there's no evidence. Now they have to prove why a gym could be closed or Costco could be open.
Well, but the thing is that the initial thing still happened, even though they're all supposed to have this process. I mean, you're supposed to be able to go through this process before they get these so-called emergency powers or whatever, right? Before they can just start shutting shit down.
That's the thing.
They don't have to do any of this stuff because they've got this supposed higher authority, the CDC, saying whatever, right?
Well, and like I said, there's procedural mechanisms that are different between Canada and some of the places in Europe where they're doing that crimes against humanity lawsuit that is also very interesting. But they have these things where they do it, then the state, you can file this certain piece of paper, and then the state has an obligation to come forward and produce all its evidence. We don't have these procedural mechanisms here. They pour you out with standing down here. But in Canada, you seem to have a very similar kind of set of systems. Now, the difference, like in the United States, they say, oh, they declared an emergency. Well, you pull up the statute in mind, and it requires an imminent threat of widespread death. Well, I'm sorry, but under no circumstances, if you declare an emergency in the state of Texas like that based upon this imminent threat of widespread death, and they declared it in the entire state, and there weren't even any cases in the vast majority of counties. Forget deaths. There weren't even any cases in any of the counties. For months and months and months, there were no cases. And so just sort of as a legal matter, the idea that you could ever support a claim that there was a threat, an imminent threat of widespread death when there were no deaths and no cases in large parts of this state. And even as today, I don't think it would qualify as an imminent threat of widespread death. Even if you counted all the deaths, it's not possible. And so the problem is, again, procedural. They ignored the actual rules. See, an emergency is... this idea that you could use an emergency for a pandemic, what they're claiming is a pandemic, which of course they changed the definition of that too a few years ago, so it didn't require deaths. That alone shows you that it's not actually an emergency under the Texas statute, because a pandemic doesn't require deaths any longer in the CDC's and the WHO definitions. So all it requires is cases and made up crap. So again, huge distinction between the two. But under no circumstances can you have a situation where an emergency is designed for solving things like storms, fires, things that are sudden, unexpected events that require immediate action by an executive, where in Texas, see, this, the legislature only meets every 2 years. So there's a good chance the legislature won't even be in session capable of making a law, so-called, if you needed it. You have to have some kind of temporary way of taking some action. And under the law, it has to be re-upped every, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. You have to re-up it and you just kind of approve it. And that's the whole, every part of this is not designed to handle something like this. And the reason you can tell that they're all in and on it together is because at any time they were in session, they could have come in, called a special session, like, again, could have said, declare an emergency, send the attorney general out to take the depositions of these WHO and CDC members, and at the same time call for an immediate emergency session of the Texas legislature to come in and actually make legislation about what's going to happen. But instead, they've just run on and on and on in this totally bullshit system that's really completely outside anything that was ever designed, planned, or agreed to by the people. And therefore, nobody really understands what's happening, because it's not actually legal. It's totally not legal. But there's no mechanism to hold their feet to the fire, because in every type of thing, when it deals with government, you've got a conflict of interest. Only government can require that government stop doing what government's not supposed to be doing. It doesn't ever work. And now everyone can see for the last 11 months that these systems don't work, because government is never going to hold government's feet to the fire.
Right, right. What about the initiative in Ohio there? We had Dr. Pam Popper on Freedom for America or something like that, or Make Americans Free Again. And they had a whole lawyer lawsuit against the Ohio for that case. So saying, this does not justify an emergency, like saying that this is not an emergency, so all this stuff doesn't
mean anything. Right, it's not an emergency.
And did you hear anything about that one at all?
I've seen the case. Each one of these, see, every state statute with regards to emergency is different. Like in California, they define emergency in a way that this could be an emergency. It's, in effect, it's a non-emergency statute. I joke about that in my podcast, actually, that they could just have a write a law. If you can get new powers, if you can just have new powers as a result of writing a statute, well, they can just write a non-emergency statute. And they declare a non-emergency and they have all these new powers and they just run on and on. They limit you all your rights and everything else due to the non-emergency. Well, there's nothing that prevents it if you can just write the word emergency and it just means anything they want. It's not what people think of as an emergency. And if you read the statute itself, it doesn't fit. Now in California, like I said, it's this very vague, much, much less specific and much less sort of emergency. They've kind of taken the emergency out of the emergency in California. And so maybe they've done the same thing in Ohio. I don't know, because I didn't look at their statute, but these are very heavily driven by state statutes and constitutions, as opposed to you in our country, every state, you really have to go look at each one of the statutes. You really have to go look, because each one is very different and they may or may not be operating within it.
Yeah.
So does that mean that because, I mean, here's my thing is like a few years ago, I'm humming and hawing about maybe relocating to the States, you know, maybe to Oregon, maybe to Texas, maybe. I mean, Texas seeming a bit far right now, but I love the Pacific Northwest. Montana's great. The freedom seems fantastic. And then something like this comes down and, you know, all my people, all the people I know from, we're connected to people all over the world, and they're all fucking locked down harder than I am in Alberta. And all of a sudden I'm looking around and I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I just need to find a nice farm around here.
Right. I mean, the reality is anybody can see this is all over the world. I mean, there's lockdowns in countries all over the place. They didn't even have any deaths. They didn't even really have any cases, and they're still locking these people down. And so the idea you can run and hide, you might buy yourself some time. It's possible. But, you know, my decision is that I'm going to stay where I am because I'm licensed here. At least I have a chance of fighting it in some form or fashion. And eventually, they're coming for everybody. This is a worldwide play. This is an all-in kind of move. It's going to have different acts to the play, and it's not all going to be just locked down and never let up. That's not the way it'll operate. But this is the big game. This is the World Economic Forum, you know, Great Reset. This is what they're pushing. And so, if you want to try to come to the States for freedom, you know, you're much better off looking at the county level than you are at the state level, because what people don't understand is that the sheriff is really the top law enforcement officer in the United States in every county he's in. He really is. I mean, he's got a huge amount of power. If your sheriff is strong, he can make sure that this stuff doesn't happen. And there were some sheriffs in the United States, and they were mostly in these smaller rural counties, who knew their job, and they knew that their own people who elect them, they don't want all this stupid crap. They're not going to lock their damn businesses down and everything else. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to that very local level of law enforcement. And of course, in these big cities, they're just tyrants. They're basically just Antifa, BLM, kind of tyrants, and the idea that they're there to protect the people is nonsense. They're there to push an agenda. So if you're looking to relocate, you need to look a lot closer at the county and the sheriff than you do at the state. Just a lot closer, because that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder, is it similar here? Or they seem expand their authority as they please around.
Well, here, because like, there's no local sheriff.
Right. The province, because at first it was Calgary, and we were outside of Calgary, and it was okay.
Or your RCMP.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got to say, I'm sure that I'll hear about some examples after I say this, but the RCMP have been great. I mean, they're wearing their masks for the most part, and they're being dorky about it. But they're not fucking around. Like, I mean, we went out the one day, it was probably about a week after they first posted the really draconian lockdowns, where they were like, no visitors in your house, period. And this is like 2 weeks before Christmas, like no visitors. If you're single or a single parent, you can have a bubble person or two bubble people, but they can't change, and that's it. And if they have a family, you can't go to their house. They can only come to your house. So it made all this weird thing for Christmas now, right? Where if you've got an old couple, they can't go to their. And I mean, honestly, that was the straw for a lot of old couples that were like, I'll pay the fine to do this and that. But I forget where I was going with that.
Well, I've heard the Royal Canadian Police are actually a pretty good force. Right.
So
I've heard they are. I've traveled to Canada a bunch of times and had some interaction with them, not in an adversarial sense, really, but they seem like really, on whole, pretty good guys and, you know, pretty legit.
I got to say, they were great around here. We went for a ride because we were going to go ice fishing. You know what it was? It was New Year's Day and all the lockdowns are still on. No visitors, no gathering, no outside gathering. Even if we catch you gathering, outside, we're coming to get you. And, so we had gone ice fishing in a place like probably an hour and a half away from where we live, because it's like, you know, we're not going to run into anybody out there. So we went out there for the day and it was great. And we come back into town and we come over the bridge, and we live in our little town here as a lake community. So there's a little, they call it a lake. I'm from Ontario, so I wouldn't call it a lake. It's more of a slough or a pond, but you know, you can have boats on it and stuff like that. So we come back, we come over the bridge. There's got to be 1,000 or 1,500 people out on the lake. Right? There's people flying kites. There's people snow machining. Some people got remote control cars. this other, the local rental place shovels off like 15 skating rinks out there, and they're all just packed with people everywhere. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. We had driven like an hour and a half and we could have easily just went here, and the cops don't care. And I mean, I've heard of some RCMP even saying they're not interested in they're not interested in enforcing any mandatory quarantines. They're not going to deal with it. They're not interested. And from what I've seen in the videos of some of the videos that are flying around now is they're not, the cops are sort of standing back. They'll give the ticket if they're supposed to give the ticket, but they're not going to get involved. It almost seems like they've been told on a top down level that we're not arresting Canadian citizens for this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Trudeau tried bringing in his own little force.
Security force. It's a good point because, look, you know, the I'm just doing my job, order followers, they're a huge problem. But, I mean, I get that there's a lot of legit people who are in that thing and they want to do the right thing. And they know it's a load of shit, too. And they don't really want to lose their job over it. But, you know, they're trying to be cool about it. And they're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place as well. But it's hard to know what the right solution is. You know, if you take, in like in this country, these law enforcement guys, they take oaths to uphold the Constitution. And the simple fact is these things are not constitutional. And there's so much brainwashing in this country about how we have to wait for the courts to supposedly tell us what's constitutional. It's not even accurate. I mean, if you were given an order that there's a law now that we're going to enslave everybody who's under 40 and over 30, would a cop enforce that? Would he think, well, I got to wait to see if it's constitutional? No, you'd know that's not constitutional. That's ridiculous. And that doesn't just apply to something that extreme. It applies to stupid stuff like this, where they're ordering people to close businesses and stand 6 feet apart and not allow family members to come to their homes. The government doesn't have any authority to do any of that crap. That's ridiculous. And a cop should know that. And I think that, like I said, these local sheriffs, a lot of them are, they're God and country people who they believe in freedom, and you know, they believe in law enforcement, whatever that even means in their head, but they don't believe in hassling upstanding citizens who aren't doing anything except going to the store and not wearing a mask and opening their business and operating. And we need more of that. We just need more of that.
I'm having a barbecue next weekend, I decided.
Yeah, good.
Actually, Jasper Paul's going to come down.
Yeah, I heard.
Did he tell you already? Yeah. We're going to do it over here. We're going to have a little Barbie. All not right. A ton. We're not going to blow it out of proportion. But, you know, I want to get some kids over here. Get the girlfriend over here with the kids. My kids run around. Get some people over. Throw some steaks on. Let the neighbors know. Fucking, we're taking spring back.
There you go. Live life. Have some fun. What's exactly the point of saving yourself? I mean, is it life to just be alive, quote unquote, alone with a mask on in your house? What the hell kind of life is that? I mean, go out and live. Everyone's going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die at some point. You got to live. I mean, you got to save something. There's nothing to save if all we're doing is hiding inside with masks on. It's ridiculous.
That's right. And if the cops do show up here, which I really don't think they will. I mean, A, I trust my neighbors. B, I trust the cops to a certain extent. They drove a stolen car into the studio and trashed a couple of my vehicles in my truck a few years ago. So I'm pretty sure they've got my name on a thing, like not don't mess with them anymore. But anyway, and if they come to the door, I'll just be super polite. If they want my ID, I'll give them my ID. If they want to give me a ticket, they can give me a ticket.
Right.
And then they can go on their way and I'll go on my way. They're not coming in my house to give any of my guest tickets.
Right.
They can go get a warrant if they want to do that.
Yes. There you go. See, now
so would that be your advice coming from a legal?
Well, I can't give advice, especially in a foreign country, but I mean, that's the kind of thing I would do. See, that kind of fits my qualification of everybody needs to do what they think makes sense with regards to hassle factor versus, you know, how much crap are you going to take? Is it the same with the mask? Is it the same with that? It's like, look, the guy's got a job to do. I'm not going to make his job miserable. Okay. If he shows up, I'll be polite to the man. Unless he starts getting out of hand, then I'll be less polite too. But, you know, know, you want to give me a ticket, then give me a ticket. That's fine. I'll sign your stupid ticket. I'm not going to ruin my party. What, am I going to take a chance and he's going to stun gun me or something and haul me off in the middle of my party? That's not worth it. You know, I'll take the ticket, be polite, and I'll take my chances with the court if they're even going to enforce it.
Yeah.
That's my take at this point as well, especially hearing that they've, I mean, in Canada, we're talking about, from what I've heard, thousands and thousands of tickets that have just been like, no contest or no, not interested. And now the thing is, the cops aren't going to show up. I mean, I've got this little scam I run, whereas if I get, it doesn't work with the photo radars, which is a fucking loophole that they always get me, which is fine because I don't lose the demerits, but I still have to pay the fine. But the cops here don't get paid for court appearances.
Oh, it's a huge factor. Down here, it's like they sit around and make overtime, sitting in the DA workroom and crap, just waiting for all sorts of stuff. I mean, you get phony baloney DUIs. They've got a whole federal law enforcement task force that grant all these federal funds, and they set up these checkpoints. And these guys just write ticket after ticket after ticket for supposed DUIs. They're all crap. I did criminal work 30 years ago, and it was just, they're all bogus. They get in there to lie their asses off. And they laugh in the DA workroom, laughing about how they're making more money in overtime. Time just sitting around waiting to testify in these bogus cases where everything pleads out anyway. So it's a huge conflict of interest.
See, the DUI huge. Would probably be different. And I mean, I might be talking out my ass here because I'm not a cop, but and they might get some sort of compensation, but I know it's not normal.
Full rate.
It's not full rate.
Worth it to them.
Unless it falls on their regular shift day. If it falls on their regular shift day, then he's going to be there.
And that's the way people fight traffic tickets in the United States.
That's what I do. So now I fight everything. I'll go down there and it's honestly, in my experience, it's a coin toss. And if the cop's there, you're just like, yeah, you know, and maybe they'll just give you a little leniency. Probably not because they've seen you a few times now. But 50% of the time, the cop doesn't show up and the justice says, hey, if he can't be bothered to show up, then we throw these out.
Yeah, in the States, the way it works is that you just constantly reset. You just reset. So you have a trial date and you call and you set it and you reset it an amount of time. So the cop who's there, he has to constantly make a note and reset and reset and reset. Eventually, he's got so many other cases coming, he's just screwed. He's never going to be there. And then as soon as you show up, and the cop's not there, then the case has to be dismissed. So it's just the same kind of thing. That's why you hire lawyers. You don't have to go down there in person. They have a huge stack of tickets. They just reset as many as they can. It's just a mill. So it's the same basic concept.
With the podcast, it's best to just go down, get some content.
There you go. Write it off.
I mean, we're getting ready to possibly try traveling. I mean, we're going for it. Graham's still a little apprehensive.
I don't know, because I don't want to take that test. I don't want to go down and take the test.
Oh, yeah. So what's your take on the test? Would you take the test to get on a plane if you had to go someplace right now?
You don't have to test inside the United States for domestic travel. If you fly outside the states and you return, in order to return to the United States, you have to have had a test, even if you're a U.S. citizen. So I'm not about to be flying out of the country. You can still fly domestically. I'm not about to take a test or a vax until I've exhausted every legal remedy, avoided every little type of thing, you know, on and on. I mean, just, I'm going to drag it out and postpone it and read those legislative, you know, rules as close as I can. I'm going to find every kind of loophole because I don't trust that test. I don't know what the hell kind of test requires them stick a pole up my nose and scrape it around on a bone between my brain and my sort of nasal passage. And I've looked at too many things. There's a lot of patents around that with these nanoparticles and these tracking. And I think they're going to try to hook people up the Internet of Things. And I don't trust why, if a supposed flu is so contagious that I have to wear a mask, that just breathing anywhere in the general vicinity of somebody can potentially get them sick and to kill them. Why can't you just take a regular DNA swab of the inside of my mouth if it's that contagious? Why do you have to stick this thing all the way up my nose and scrape it around? That doesn't make sense. They're not consistent. Again, I'd love to get somebody on the stand who says that they're an expert and just drill them down about how completely nonsensical this is. So no. I'm not taking the test because I don't trust the test, and I think the test could easily be used to infect me, or at minimum could, like I said, put some particles in there. And beyond that, I just don't want, it's too invasive. It's just, I'm not about to get an anal swab, anal to oral or some crap now, not porn. No, thanks. I'm not doing it. And so, you know, when they make it a requirement and there's no other choice except for basically go to prison and have it done, kill the cops or kill myself kind of thing. Well, then, yeah, then I'll do it. But up until then, there's a lot of ways to avoid. And once it's mandatory, well, then it's mandatory. And if they turn me into some kind of transhuman mutant, then I guess that's what I'm going to become.
See, we want to come there.
There's a thing my friend sent me today from our quarantine.
But I thought they weren't doing that anymore. I thought they weren't doing the crazy nose swab in Canada
anymore.
When
my girlfriend had tested, they just go down your throat and do it quickly. But I think they're doing both now.
That's what she said.
Yeah. But there's a screening technology thing here in our quarantine act that says they can use authorized by the minister does not involve the entry into the traveler's body of any instrument or other foreign body. So it's saying that they can use like this gargle test instead of poking you. So there might be something here in our quarantine act.
If they want my spit, they can have it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to take some fluid into my mouth and switch it around because God knows what that is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If they want to let me, like, I'll take a swig of my own water that I trust, that I've been in control of, and I know no one's dosed. Yeah, I'll swig it around and give him a test. That's no problem. I just object to the idea that they're going to stick something into my nasal cavity and rub it around on the bones inside my head. That's not going to happen.
Well, the other main problem is the PCR test. I mean, this is the perfect tool.
It's junk.
It's the perfect tool. I'm convinced they built their whole scheme around that fucking test. The whole thing is controllable through that test. They ramp the cycles up, they ramp the cycles down.
Right.
And they get whatever percentage they kind of want to get.
Right. And it's junk.
You know, and I think we're almost at herd immunity just from the T cell immunity that 40 or 50% of us have and the people that may have got this and have built up the antibodies and we're almost there, but no, they just keep testing people and they're just going to keep always
going to
get these positive results. Always they're going to get it.
But we don't even have a control group. We have no idea if this thing's actually new or not. It's not like you tested everybody in the population and determined that nobody had it before and that you wouldn't have tried it. It's not science. The thing hasn't even been isolated. You're just testing for the common cold, residuals of the common cold with some slight differences. Again, all this stuff would have been sorted out if we could have actually sworn these people in and made them answer questions, pen them down. It's not because you're going to get the truth from them. You never get the truth from these kinds of liars, but you get them wedged into a single position.
And
that's the key.
And it can be compared to the CDC guidelines and the stuff on the PCR testing that says it can be all these other things. It's not just a novel coronavirus, and it's sitting right there in the fucking right on the CDC website. And how they can just ignore all that stuff is just...
In a real case, these people would have been obliterated. I mean,
literally
just destroyed.
They can't do it, right?
In a real case. And that's what that Pennsylvania case showed so well, that what they were doing wasn't science, it wasn't legal, it wasn't anything. It was complete junk, and they don't have anything supporting it. And every one of these jokers could be exposed. And that doesn't even include all the people you could bring in who were counter experts to demolish their position as well. And it's no possible way they could ever carry the burden of proof necessary to do all this. And they've avoided it by simply not having to carry any burden of proof, by never having to withstand any scrutiny. That's the entire game. That's it.
Before we let you go, can you let our guests know where they can track you down on social media, listen to your podcasts, any place they can get more Legal Man? If they see so fit,
if they can always find me on Twitter until they kick me off. I'm Legal Man at US Law Review. And my podcast is called The Quash, and it's pretty much available anywhere you watch podcasts, and just flip it on. And I think Apple and Spotify and every single kind of podcast. I've never had people approach me that they can't get it. I'm sure there's some obscure ones out there, but they're all out there. And I've got a lot of stuff out there, and they should listen to it because they need to share it, because we really have to get some people on board and wake some people up.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, man. This has been great. I hope you had a good time. And yeah, it's been really fun.
Yeah, we'll do this again down the road if you want to. Have you been on Union of the Unwanted yet?
No. But I do people. Whenever people approach me, I'm always happy to do it. So I've had a great time. I really appreciate
it. Awesome, buddy. Thanks so much. Thanks for your perspective.
Have a great night.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was our chat with Legal Man. What'd you think, buddy?
That was a good one. Very well spoken. Very well spoken. Very good chat.
Very articulate.
Very articulate. Very good at ranting. What a ranter.
That's fantastic.
Great rants, too. Yeah. There's nothing better than a nice, articulate, well-spoken rant.
Yeah. Especially one that's like following the facts and the truth and the public and what he sees, you know?
2 hours flew by.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it flew by. And I mean, man, it ramps up. I mean, I do appreciate his sort of, I don't know if black pill is the right term. I don't want to use that term if I don't know what it is, but he's definitely got a almost a catastrophist view of the future, because he's done, you know, enough research, and he sees, like, we talked about the vaccines and how we won't be allowed to have freedom and ID 2020. And, you know, he even thinks this might be a bioweapon thing. And what's to say this isn't a bioweapon? And we talk about, you know, the chipping away at a death by a thousand cuts, and, you know, there's a licensing problem, and he thinks this is going to change the way we fundamentally look at people in authority. He gets into Fauci, the fraud, the money man, public education, and the media control, and Mockingbird, and everything. Everybody in public is saying something that's not true, and the fake right. And that's the interesting part of him as well, is he's not, you know, he's not partisan. You know, he calls out the conservatives for their fakeness and for their allowing a lot of this stuff to happen. You know, he talks about the Constitution, which I couldn't really wrap my head around, but how it's not really being followed, and it's not really legal, I guess, since the Civil War. I don't know if that's the right term.
But he
talks about it in there. Talks about consumerism. Like, nowadays we think that consumerism equals freedom. And just fascinating.
Remember when we started, you were wondering how we'd be able to go 2 hours?
I know, but, well, with guys like him, it's fantastic. I mean, just
flies by.
Yeah.
Flies by. Do check out grimericaoutlawed.ca if you want to get access to the full interviews, full extensions, plus all the Grimerica Read stuff Graham narrates in the background, and I edit. We got a bunch of articles in there and some other stuff that you might want to check out for all free for our plus members. Of course, you do get that 192 kilobit feed as well. All for that $6.39 a month. The sooner you sign up, the better, because then you don't have to, it's less shows that you have to go back and re-listen to the second half
there
of.
There you go.
And as I have mentioned in the past, sometimes it's not as easy as just cutting these things in two. Sometimes I take a chunk from here, I move it there, I move it here. So you never know what you might be getting in that. It won't be as easy as going back and just listening to hour two. So it's best to just sign up for Plus now. Be there from the get-go. You know, the extra 4 or 5 hours a month got to be worth it. GrimericaOutlawed.ca for that. Of course, if you want to just get some shirts, you want to check out our other podcast, Grimerica, check out Grimerica.ca, where we do stuff a lot lighter than this. That's all free all the time.
Audiobooks.
Check out AdultBrain.ca for all the Grimerica-produced audiobooks. Check out America.ca/swag. We got a ton of gear there if you want to get into any of that stuff. Anything else?
Yeah, just friends of ours have been deplatformed off of Patreon now too. So it's happening everywhere. So I think now is an important time to support independent media, I guess, alternative new media.
Vote with your dollars.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, otherwise none of us could do that. But a lot of the union of the unwanted guys are getting deplatformed and censored, and now like Patreon. So
that's it. And if you're a plus member that decides you want to give a little more, you can always do that over at grimerica.ca/support, where we run our full value for value program over there, and everything is 100% by donation. Of course, here we got the plus thing. If you want to get that plus thing, grimericaoutlawed.ca.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Teach me all your secrets to get a good handle on a better way to live. How does one get out of bed every day in the throes of the apocalypse? Should I bury my head in the sand or sabotage their evil plan? I feel really trapped, an ant burned by a magnifying glass. It's all a little bit too convenient. All the evidence went up in flames. Homies, frauds, or scammers belong in the slammer. My friend, best give up their names. Should I call on militia man or pass out a petition pen? I feel really trapped, an ant burned by a magnifying glass. I don't know what y'all been told, but I got a soul made out of gold. Sound off, 1, 2, sound off, 3, 4, cadence count, 1, 2.
A deep bow!
Some time ago, a crazy dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking into World War III. As prophetic as humidity, as aching bones, as frantic animals. Sophia wrote it down, built an ark, now she floats it down the river in the dark. As prophetic as deja vu, as wormwood, as falling stars above. Sophia wrote it down, built an ark, now she floats it down a river dark. I can't even hear my own thoughts for the life of me over the din of a bruised and broken culture. The media spins and splatters and spins and clatters, and I cringe because it's psychological warfare. Don't you feel yourself getting really mad? How did we let it get this bad? Don't you feel really trapped like a brain in a vat? Hard to close Pandora's box, but sirens are singing me off a cliff. I'm looking to hitchhike to Shangri-La over yonder. Sophia, would you give me a lift? Hopped out of the Hegelian rebellion. Say goodbye to all you Machiavellians. Let evil destroy itself. I'm bound for Shangri-La. Shangri-La. Dream if I could be in yours. I'll let you be in my dream if I could be in yours. As prophetic as morning doves, as groundhogs, as falling stars above. Sophia wrote it down, built an ark, now we're floating it down a river dark. As prophetic sings it now, we built a plane, now we're taking flight above a river.